Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, this is the 7th canto, chapter 1, text number 3.
Iti na sumaha bhaga narayana gunan prati samsayaha sumahan jatas tad babams
babams yeah
chetum arhati iti nasumaha bhaga narayana gunan prati samsaya sumahan jatas tad bhavams chetam arhati iti nasumaha bhaga narayana gunan prati samsayaha sumahan jatas tad bhavams chetum arhati iti naha sumabhaga narayana gunan prati samsaya sumahan jatas tad bhavams chetum arhati.
Vaishnavis,
Timanya Samabhava,
synonyms, iti,
thus, na, our, sumahabhaga,
O glorious one,
Narayana gunan,
the qualities of Narayan,
prati,
toward,
samsaya,
doubt,
sumahan,
very great.
Jataha,
born.
Tat,
that. Bhavan, your lordship. Chetamharati, please dispel. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. O greatly fortunate and learned Brahmana, whether Narayan is partial or impartial has become a subject of great doubt. Kindly dispel my doubt with positive evidence that Narayan is always neutral and equal to everyone. Please repeat. O greatly fortunate and learned Brahmana, whether Narayan is partial or impartial, has become a subject of great doubt. Kindly dispel my doubt with positive evidence that Narayan is always neutral and equal to everyone. Purport. Since Lord Narayan is absolute, his transcendental qualities are described as one. Thus his punishments and his offerings of favor are both of the same value. Essentially, his inimical actions are not displays of enmity toward his so-called enemies. But in the material field, one thinks that Krishna is favorable to devotees and unfavorable to non-devotees. When Krishna finally instructs in Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharman Parityagya Mam Ekam Saranam Vraja, 1866, this is meant not only for Arjuna, but for every living entity within this universe. Om Gyanam Tanandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chaksus Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Upakatamayam Dadanti Swabhadantikam. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasari Gaur Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchakopa Tubhishta Kripasindhu Bhivacha. Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So the verse again. Itina samahabhaga narayana gunan prati samsaya samahan jitjatas tadbhavams chetum arhati. O greatly fortunate and learned Brahmana, whether Narayana is partial or impartial has become a subject of great doubt. Kindly dispel my doubt with positive evidence that Narayana is always neutral and equal to everyone. So here's Parikshit Maharaj, who's a very intelligent personality, and is asking a very intelligent question. So in order to get the best intelligent answers, we have to have the best intelligent questions. So here we have great personalities who are supposedly doubtful. Of course, we know that he knows this, but he's taking the position of a normal personality for our benefit, because doubts are very important to be dispelled. They're considered to be like demons. You have one little doubt, it's like a hole, like a little leeway that you leave where legions of demons can come and haunt you. So they expand unlimitedly, these doubts. And then our devotional practice can be weakened. We won't have as much enthusiasm. There will always be some doubt there. So look at just this one question by Maharaj Parikshit. This whole seventh canto is answering that. It's amazing how we have such thorough answers to doubts. And there's many questions and doubts that are being asked in the Srimad Bhagavatam by the greatest personalities. And they're being answered with such complete evidence and also history, examples. And it's so interesting how Maharaj Parikshit asking this question, why is Krishna favorable taking the side of Indra and killing the demons. You know, like that. So why is he's considered favorable and inimical towards others? We may think that too. Krishna's embracing the gopis, is laughing and joking with the Pandavas, but yet he's cutting off people's heads and smashing people. And it doesn't sound like Krishna is very, you know, partial or impartial. It sounds like he's favoritism. But Prabhupada's given us a little evidence in the purport here that Krishna is transcendental to everything. And there's evidences will be given according to the modes of nature. According to how you approach Krishna, he reciprocates with you. If you come with Krishna with an inimical attitude or you want to fight Krishna, Krishna will say, okay, come on, I'll kill you. Or if you want to, you know, love Krishna, then Krishna will reciprocate with love. So it's depending on how we approach Krishna, our attitude. So it's the attitude that Krishna reciprocates with and is equal. It's not that just because, you know, we're eternally conditioned souls, we have to stay that way. No. As Prabhupada hinted in the verse here, purport, Sarva Dharma and Puritika Mamikam Sadanam Bhajam. He's equal to everyone because everyone has the opportunity to surrender. You just have to decide. You make a decision, and whatever you decide, that's what the result is going to be. So here, Maharaj Parikshit is wondering, what's going on here? He's siding with Indra. And Sukadeva Goswami is saying, that's an interesting question. You know, your grandfather or your... Yeah, Maharaj Yudhishthira was his grandfather. I guess he was, yeah. He said, he asked a similar question. They were in the assembly of the Rajasuya sacrifice of Yudhishthira Maharaj. And there's these same personalities are there. There's Sishupal and Dantavarka. And everybody in the witness of everyone's eyes could see that the soul of Sishupal merged into the body of Krishna. Yudhishthira Maharaj's question was, how is Krishna so magnanimous that this can happen? The same personality we're going to talk about, Hiranyakashipu, in this chapter. So the same personalities, Sishupal and Dantavarka, were described. So the same personalities are being involved here, but yet two different questions. Why is Krishna, seems like he's so partial? But his grandfather asked the question, why is Krishna so magnanimous that, you know, this demon, he should have went to hell, but he merged into Krishna's body? So these are how logically this doubt is going to be dispelled, and also through much evidence of the scriptural evidences. So it'll be completely smashed. So it's very important as devotees, we should be very sincere and come with a very humble attitude towards the authorities, towards our spiritual master, to Krishna, and come, you know, lower than the straw in the street, asking for enlightenment, for encouragement, for strength, to get free from our doubts. Because it's this false ego is what causes all the problems in the mature world. Like the demons are very egotistic. They think they're better than Krishna. They think that we are opulent. We have nice family and prestige. And we are very, very powerful. Whose is Krishna? So they become envious and proud like the frog. You know, he thinks he can understand something. They think they know something. But the frog is very puffed up, thinking, how could anything be greater than this, my well? When someone comes from another part of his country or part of his land and he falls into his little well and he says, you know, I saw the ocean. It's so vast and powerful. You mean it's twice as big as this? No, it's much bigger. Three times? No, it's bigger, bigger. So he begins to puff up and he goes, this big? No, this big. Keeps puffing up. No, it's you can't imagine, it's big. So he keeps, no, it's this big. So he's trying to imagine, and all of a sudden, you know, he So this is what happens. We become puffed up, and that pride destroys us. We're smashed to pieces. The Son is equal to everyone, but yet we have to have the willingness to go out in the sun and get the sun rays. So in the same way, by our ego, we're covered up in this dark well of ignorance, and we can't get the full rays of the sun. So therefore, it's our own bondage. This ego is keeping us in bondage. So we have to become very humble and sincere in Krishna consciousness so that we can receive answers to our doubts. If we're not humble, we may have a doubt and think, and we may just keep it for years and years within our heart. I don't really believe something. And, you know, just keeps it. You don't express it. You don't have the humility or the humbleness, you know, like that, to go before someone, the nerve or the strength to go before someone and ask to get your doubts relieved. Because one may think that he's popped up, he knows everything. But actually we don't know. And these are the examples given us through us in the Srimad Bhagavatam to show us that yes, look at these great personalities, yet they're humbling themselves. We see it all throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam, even the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna humble, Arjuna humbles himself. As long as he was acting like he was speaking learned words, Krishna wasn't saying anything. But until he surrendered to Krishna and accepted him as his spiritual master, then he got enlightened. So even in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, you see many humble devotees. Sanatana Goswami is a great learned personality. But yet he approached Lord Chaitanya with straw between his teeth. And he inquired, he don't even know who I am. Who am I? What is my purpose? Why am I suffering? So we have to come to this point, and these are many examples to show us that. And there's so many wonderful stories throughout the Bhagavatam that illustrate these things. It just expands. So our doubts can be answered and expelled and expanded in cantos. The whole seventh canto is just answering this one verse, question in this one verse. But just see, if we have one doubt, then those doubts turn into cantos also. They expand. And wherever there's a leak, Maya's looking for one little leak, one little thing. And then she'll come in and just haunt you with legions of demons. They say people are haunted. You know, sometimes they find many ghosts within them. Sometimes they find legions of ghosts and demons within a person. So this is what expands. These doubts are demons. So we're showing how important it is to humble ourselves and have the strength and to come and approach and find out the answers to all these doubts. Otherwise, they will haunt you. This is a very nice verse in the Srimad Bhagavad Gita, which Krishna says, Samoham sarvabhuteshu name dveso sti na priyaha. Ye bhajanti tu mam bhaktya mai te teshu chapi aham. I envy no one nor am I partial to anyone. I am equal to all. But whoever renders service unto me in devotion is a friend in me, and I am also a friend to him. So this is again the reciprocation. If we're a friend to Krishna, then it's actually natural that Krishna is going to reciprocate. It's not his inimical nature, it's natural, Prabhupada says in the purport. This is not discrimination, it is natural. So any man in this material world may be very charitably disposed, yet he has special interest in his own children. So this is how Krishna is equal to all of us, because we're all his children. Just like a father may have some children that are inimical towards the parents. Even a psychotherapist will tell you that actually your children don't like you. They'll tell their... But actually that's true. Many children don't like their parents. Does that mean that the parents don't like the children or they hate the children? No, but they're always trying to help them, bring them back. Even if they run away from home, like the prodigal son, you know, the parent is always thinking how to bring him back. So this is Krishna. He's like that very loving parent who's always trying to bring his sons and, you know, his parts and parcels back to the spiritual world. So we'll see in the Srimad Bhagavatam, these demons are actually his sons too. So Krishna is favorable towards them. He's thinking of ways to bring them back also, whether it's by killing them or killing the demoniac mentality. Krishna's not doing that. So we simply have to surrender. So Krishna, it's open to everyone. You know, Krishna is like a desire tree, and whatever we want, Krishna gives you. Is equal to everyone. If you want to forget Krishna, then his forgetfulness, his memory, his knowledge like this. So Prabhupada quotes the Bhagavad Gita 18:66, abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender to me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. So this is the beauty of Krishna consciousness. Once you take up devotional service, you know, it's not like you have to go through some extraneous yoga. You have to perform so many atonements and sufferings and penances to get free from your sins. But Krishna says, just be confident. Just surrender to me, and immediately you are free from all sinful reactions. Just see how simple. We save so much time, so much effort, and it's so cool. It's so easy. Just surrender to Krishna. But yet it takes a little humility. We have to be humble, not thinking that we are something better or we have something. So this is Krishna. He's so kind to us that if we just always think of him and that we're helpless, that's how we should approach even a great soul. Like, I am nothing special. I am insignificant. I am a fool. I know nothing. Please enlighten me. So we should always have this humble attitude. And therefore, this simple surrender will protect us. And we make progress freed from all our sinful reactions. So this is a Srimad Bhagavatam class. And Prabhupada set it up so that every day we hear these questions and answers. And even had it set up so that even at the end of class, we ask questions and answers so that we can expand more into cantos, more understanding of the Bhagavatam, so we get different input from many devotees. Because we don't all have the answers. In the early days, the devotees said it was so easy. If they had any doubts or questions, they would just approach Prabhupada, and Prabhupada would give the answer. So it's so simple. But now, what do we do? Prabhupada says, if we become pure and sincere, then Krishna is in your heart and he will tell you what to do. But yet, sometimes it's hard as devotees. How do we tell the difference between our own mind and the super soul in the heart? Or after Prabhupada's gone, who is the one acharya now? Prabhupada says, no, not one of you, but when you all come together as like a GBC body, then that is, you're representing me. Then you'll get the correct answers like that. So similar in assembly of devotees, you know, Krishna says, I'm not in the heart of the yogi. I'm not, you know, in the austerity, the fire sacrifices, things like this, but I'm where the devotees are gathering together to glorify me. That's where I am. So as we come together in Krishna consciousness in the form of the Bhagavatam, or we're reading together with devotees, then Krishna's there. And Krishna comes and inspires, and we get deeper understandings to our questions and our doubts. This is the only thing keeping us from Krishna. We're doubtful. I don't know about Krishna. Is it true? So this is our position. So that's, we have to ask, maybe we don't have the intelligent questions to ask. Like in the beginning days, sometimes Prabhupada, there'll be questions and Prabhupada, you know, sometimes we didn't even know what to ask, or they didn't even know what to ask you, the Prabhupada. What is the right questions? All the right questions are here. Sometimes Prabhupada would have questions and answers, and other times he wouldn't. There's one in England, there was one devotee, I think it was, that when Mataji asked you to Prabhupada, there was questions and answers. Prabhupada said, "Is there Krishna speaking Bhagavad Gita in hell, hellish planets too?" And we see the brilliance of Srila Prabhupada and how, you know, what Prabhupada came to give the most important and highest knowledge, the highest answers. You know, so he said, "Isn't this hell enough here? There's always, and there's no sunshine, and it's always raining and cold. What more hell do you want?" So this, you know, Prabhupada was, is it? Yeah, right. Something like that. So see, sometimes we don't even know what the intelligent questions are. So here we have the opportunity. We're so fortunate. So now we have an opportunity to ask questions. And if I don't have the answers, I'm sure somebody in the class does. So yes, thank you. Mm-hmm.
I wanted to ask if, does that mean that Krishna is available for a homeless person on the street equally? The Christian in the Christian church on the other side of the block, maybe even a laughing yogi somewhere in India, a pregnant woman, and so on and so forth? Or is he only exclusive to a particular organization or particular temple? Does that mean that he is equally available for everyone? Would you please explain? Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yes. And the proof is, just look at our Hare Krishna movement. Many of us were from the street. Many of us were, you know, homeless, pregnant women, Christians, Jews, you know, wealthy people. You know, look at, there's so many wealthy devotees. You know, like there's Ambarish Maharaj, who is a heir to the Ford Empire. He's a devotee. You know, great personalities, celebrities like George Harrison. It's open to everyone. It's not limited, because this is the nature of the soul. All these things that we experience here, these are all just names. They're just like temporary designations that we've identified with, which are temporary, so therefore they're illusory. So, but our real nature is to be with Krishna. So therefore it's natural for anybody to surrender to Krishna, who's equal to all of them. Yeah. Yes, back there. Sudar, Sean.
I had a question, and it's not really pertaining to the class, but it was just a different question.
Okay.
I was just curious, when you get initiated,
yeah,
is that like actually your eternal spiritual name that you're getting, that your spiritual master is telling you, or is it just something that he made up for you?
So your question is that once you get initiated, that spiritual name that you get, is that your eternal name? Is that the question? Yeah. I don't know. Could be. You probably have an original name in the spiritual world. Maybe somebody has the answer to that.
Definitely our eternal name is Das.
Yeah, that's
Das
true.
And Dasi.
Das.
That's the eternal quality.
Yes. Yeah. That's why we were so worried about our names, right? We identify with our names. That's why we're named after Krishna, so we can think of Krishna somehow or another, because we're Das, no matter what your name is.
Thank you for the wonderful class, Prabhu. I just had a question about how Jai and Vijay, they're both in Dasi Ras and the Vaikuntha planets. they were serving Krishna eternally. And so they were sent, you know, they committed an offense, they were sent to the, to become, you know, either devotees or demons.
Yeah.
And, you know, so Krishna said that, you know, they, if they became demons, it would sort of expedite the process back, back home. But then it says that, you know, Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha were, they achieved impersonal liberation, wasn't it?
No, they went back to the original post.
They regained the original position. Okay. Yeah. Okay, just check. Because I just heard that most of the time when they reference, you know, these demons who are killed, they usually kind of say that they
yeah, some demons know. Do. But these are a special case. Krishna sent them down for pastime. Because you can't fight in the spiritual world, and Krishna likes to fight sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not going to fight with just anyone.
Right.
So he fought with his devotees. So they played the role of demons. And they played the best role, and they were the best demons. So only devotees could do that. They're the best actors. So, sorry. Thank you. Any other comments, questions? No? Yes, Prue.
Haribol, I was wondering if chanting other names of God is as effective, or like, because I've heard Prabhupada say that you could chant any bona fide name of God, and I mean, can you like chant Yahweh, Jehovah, Allah, and still get the same effect from chanting the Hare Krishna mantra?
Yeah, sure, why not? But for this particular age, Lord Chaitanya recommends the Hare Krishna mantra. So we go by what the judge says. You know, there's be a court case, and there could be many lawyers thinking that this is the proper thing to do, this is the thing, but who decides? It's the judge. Many things may be possible, but the judge decides. And who is a greater judge than Lord Chaitanya, who is Krishna, telling us that this is the process for this age? It doesn't mean that these other names of Krishna, God, don't have any benefit. They do. But still, there is a recommended process. This Archita has something to say.
Well, in terms of potency, specifically mentioned that Vishnu Sahasranam, 1,000 names of Vishnu equals one Ram, and three Rams equal one Krishna. Therefore, you're expediting the process when you chant Hare Krishna.
Right.
You're getting more juice more quickly than if you chant other names of the Lord.
That's good. Good point. And just like you surrender to Krishna, you save so much time from having to do so many purificatory processes. If we just sincerely surrender, then we're freed from all sins. And if you just simply chant Hare Krishna, it's the most powerful mantra. Jai. Did you have a question? Oh, no. Okay. All right. Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam. Jai. Thank you for your kind attention. Hare Krishna.